Welcome to Let's Get Physical. The material presented on this show are for educational purposes only and are not to be used as a substitute for medical advice from your healthcare professional.
Hello, this is Dr. Lauren Chin, and I'm happy to be back with you again on Let's Get Physical. we're going to talk a little about low back pain today. This may be a review for some of you, but review is good, and for some people this will be new material. So, you know, I was in practice for over 40 years, and probably 60-65% of my practice was low back pain, and most of that pain is caused by physical, mechanical issues. And so my secretary, Patty Murray, came up with the name of the show because mechanical problems require mechanical or physical solutions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So low back pain, if you've never had it, the odds are that you will. Almost every citizen in this country is going to have one or more episodes of low back pain. It's almost inevitable. It hopefully is self-limiting and will go away within 2 to 6 weeks, but that can be a miserable period, and so we want to try to prevent that or shorten the duration of these issues when they do occur. Not only that, but every time you have an episode like that, it tends to weaken the back and make you more susceptible to future episodes. So why would that be? Well, we have to understand what's causing the pain, and there are a whole lot of different tissues in the low back that can cause pain. Muscles, tendons, ligaments, joints, and discs. So in young people, you know, under 18, those muscles can be a problem frequently. And then between the ages of 20 and 60, those discs tend to be very troublesome. And then after 60, the joints frequently become the primary drivers of pain. So let's talk a little bit about the anatomy. So to do this, to understand this, we're going to have some visual aids here. So I'm going to try to sketch out a picture for you to draw. Actually, you're going to sketch it out. I'm going to help. So what I want you to do is, first of all, draw a rectangle, a square, 1.5 inches or 2 inches or so. And then about a half inch below that, draw another square. Okay, now, that space in between those two squares, I want you to shade that in. Just gently shade that in. And now what you got there is a happy little disc. So now two vertebrae and a disc make a motor unit. Now, we're going to get a little fancier this time. If you go to the right margin of your vertebrae and draw a line vertically along the right-hand margin of those two squares, those two vertebrae, and then about a half inch to the right of that, draw another line parallel to it. Now you have what looks like a straw or something, you know, some sort of a tube on the right-hand margin of your motor unit, and that is your spinal canal. And right now, that's a happy little spinal canal. You got a happy little disc, you got a happy little spinal canal. And why are they happy? Because you haven't screwed them up yet. Now, unfortunately, it's fairly easy to screw those things up, especially after age 22. Now, what is so magic about age 22? Well, I'll tell you. But first, we need a little more detail. So now let's draw a circle about the size of a quarter. And then inside the circle, we're going to draw another circle about the size of a dime. Now, shade in that dime. Great. Now what you have is a disc. So that disc that you drew originally, if you look at this on a cross-section or on end, this is what your disc looks like. And that dime in the middle that you're shaded in, that is a jelly-like center called the annulus, or the annulus pulposus of your disc. Around that are many, many ligaments all laminated on top of one another, and that is your annular ligament. Now, up until age 20, 22, that annular ligament is exceedingly strong. I mean, it's really strong. How strong is it? Well, I'll tell you. If you take an 18-year-old athlete and put him or her in the weight room, as a lot of them are, and they're lifting heavy weights, they're doing cleans and presses, and they're lifting a couple hundred pounds, And they really put a load, a compressive load, up and down on that spine. The annular ligament of that disc is so strong that that disc won't rupture. At least it doesn't rupture out the front of the back. What it does is it compresses that jelly in the middle, that jelly under such pressure that it actually dents the vertebrae. So if you take an x-ray of this person, you'll see a dent in the end plate of the vertebrae. This is called an intrabody herniation. It's actually a fracture of the vertebrae. So the vertebrae will break before the ligaments rupture. That's how strong that ligament is. Well, that's great. Our discs are really, really tough, right? Well, yes and no. The good news is they're really, really tough and strong. The bad news is they reach that peak strength at about age 22. And after that, it's a slow downhill loss of tensile integrity. So why is that? Well, it's a long story. You don't need all the details right now. Just believe me when I tell you that they reached their peak strength at age 22. So we need to start behaving like we want to take care of this stuff and make it last. And I'm going to explain to you today just how to do that. So what we want to do is try to maintain normal pressures on that disc, because that thing causes so much trouble. That is the source of most of our problems, in my opinion, between the ages of mid-20s and mid-60s. So how do we do that? And what happens if we don't? Well, all right, I want you to imagine a person in a swimsuit. You're looking at them from the side. What do you see? In the low back specifically, what do you see? If you look at the low back, you see that it kind of dishes forward, it dishes in, that sway back, people call that. But that is a normal curve. So if you have that normal curve, the pressures on your disc are as good as they can be. And the pressure on that jelly, that nucleus, is normal. It's pushing the jelly in equally pressured in all directions. So the jelly has no tendency to migrate forward or backward. It just stays pretty much where it is. Now, let's see. I don't think I'm making this too clear. So I want you to imagine in your head that you have a marshmallow and a couple of Ritz crackers, okay? And you put the marshmallow between the Ritz crackers, and you compress it between your fingers, straight down. What happens? Well, the marshmallow just kind of compresses. It gets shorter, and it gets kind of fatter too, doesn't it? Right. If you push hard enough, that marshmallow will squeeze out until it's larger than the diameter of the cracker. Well, this can be a problem. This is how a bulging disc starts to happen. So we don't want that. What happens? Okay, release that pressure on your marshmallow so it returns to its normal shape. Now, what happens if you compress those two crackers more on one side than the other? Well, your marshmallow squeezes down. It becomes narrower on one side and fatter on the other, right? Right. So this is what your disc looks like when you bend forward from the waist. And when you do that, the pressure on the disc goes up, and it may go up as high as 800%. And the pressure on that nucleus, that jelly in the middle, is so great that that jelly may start to tear through your ligaments, and it will tear through on the backside towards your buttocks. So when that happens, you may not have any pain. You may not have any pain until that jelly hits the outer third of your ligaments. And then all of a sudden, you have pain like you've never experienced before. And I mean, it can be breathtaking. And I've seen it thousands of times over the years, literally thousands of times. And it can take the biggest, strongest, toughest guy and turn him into a quivering mass. So we don't want that pain. We do not want that pain at all. How can we avoid it? Well, there are a few simple guidelines that we need to follow. And towards the end of this period, I'm going to give you distilled this down after 40 years of practice, I distilled it down to four simple rules. But you need to understand the basics, because otherwise I'm just giving these rules and they don't mean anything. I want you to understand what's going on so that you know how to treat yourself, you know how to protect yourself, and if you have problems, you know how to address them for yourself. Now, I also want you to know that I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm not pulling this stuff out of thin air. If you want to check references, the research was done in the 70s and the 80s by several groups of researchers. There was Alf Nachumson, N-A-C-H-E-M-S-O-N, Nachumson. There was Stuart McGill in the 80s, Canadian research group. And one of my favorites, Sir Robin McKenzie, physical therapist in New Zealand. These folks laid the groundwork for us and made it much easier for us to take care of ourselves if we want to. In fact, Dr. McGill was contracted by the Canadian government. Canadian government said, we are losing too much money. There are too many lost days of productivity. People are having, they're calling in sick with this low back stuff. What's going on? They hired McGill, and McGill and his hearty band of researchers traveled across the country, and they looked at what was going on. Who was missing work? What were they doing? Were they guys out lifting heavy stuff all day, or were they office workers? What was the story? And McGill and his crew, I mean, they were a brave bunch. They stuck pressure-sensitive sensors into the discs of themselves and measured the pressure in their discs. And what they found was, if you're out there lifting a bunch of heavy stuff, yeah, you're kind of at risk. But what they were surprised to find was that people who sit all day were at equal or even higher risk. So it turns out that sitting is bad, bad, bad stuff, but it sneaks up on you. Now, why would sitting hurt us? Well, if we look at the work of Nachumson, we can see that when you're lying down, the pressure in your disc is very low. When you stand up, the pressure is somewhat higher. But when you sit down, it goes even higher. When you sit down, it goes even higher. Think about that. What do you say to somebody who looks tired? Say, hey, sit down, take a load off, right? Take a load off. Well, when you sit down, put your feet up, you take a load off your feet, but you put a heck of a load on your back. Think about it. So what should you do to take a load off your back? Go to bed? Well, yeah, but that's really not all that practical. Maybe you take a walk. Yeah, walk. Walking is one of the best things you can do for your back, and we're going to talk about that later. But let's talk about why sitting. Why does sitting hurt that low back? Well, we have to go back to the disc. So this is why we're taking the time to talk about the disc. So if we look at all those ligaments that surround that nucleus, those ligaments are pretty strong, but they'll stretch. Now, there's a phenomenon known as hysteresis. And hysteresis is a sneaky devil. What happens when you sit? It's very difficult to maintain that curvature, that lordosis we were talking about. So you sit, and your back kind of slumps a little bit, and you slouch, and you're sitting in a nice soft chair. It's a recliner you paid $2,000 for, you know, and hysteresis starts to sneak up on you, and those ligaments start to elongate. Well, this is where McGill's research comes in, because McGill showed us that the longer those ligaments become, the weaker they are. In other words, the longer you sit, the more at risk your disc is. So how many times have you been sitting around, just taking it easy, and then bent over to pet the dog, and all of a sudden had a catch in your low back? You just tore a few fibers in that disc. So rule number one is never sit too long. Now, how long is too long? Well, we'll talk about that later. We still have more background to fill in here. McGill also found that people who were lifting were at risk as well. But, I mean, people have to lift, right? You have to bend over. How are you going to get down and lift those bags of dog food out of the trunk? Or how are you going to get down and do your gardening? And McGill found that Nachumson did the original work. When you bend over and lift something, that pressure in that disc can go up, as I said, sometimes 800-900%. And if you're 45 years old, your discs are not as strong as they were when you were 22, and you're going to run into problems. In fact, if we circle back to that 18-year-old athlete in the weight room, that guy was deadlifting 300 pounds, and he fractured his vertebrae because his discs were so strong, he pushed that disc up into the vertebrae, cracked the end plate of his vertebrae instead of tearing his disc. Well, he takes 15 years off and decides when he's in his mid-30s to go back into the gym, and he starts lifting. What do you think happens to him this time? Well, you're right. He blows a disc. because the ligaments are just not what they were 15 years ago when he was just a kid. So anyway, what we found was with McGill, he said, if you sit too long, that hysteresis is going to elongate those fibers. Those fibers are going to get weaker, and your disc is at risk. So what can you do about it? Well, the simple answer is you get out of your chair. And McGill did his measurements, and he found that the sweet spot was 10 minutes. You get up every 10 minutes. Well, you know, I read McGill's research, and it's great stuff. But most people really can't get up every 10 minutes. So I kind of modified that, and I said, all right, let's get up every 15 to 20 minutes. But if you don't get up every 20 minutes, every minute you don't, your risk is going up higher and higher. So if you can just push back from your desk, stand up, reach for the sky, get up on your tiptoes, takes 10 seconds. You sit back down and go back to work. You've lost 10 seconds. Well, the research that McGill did found that people's productivity actually went up if they took his advice and got up for 10 seconds, 4 or 5 times an hour, 3 times an hour even. It makes a huge difference. Their productivity goes up and their risk of injury, low back injury, goes way down. Neck pain and headache went down too, but we'll talk about that another time. So here we are. We're looking at this disc and we're saying, okay, we've got to preserve that curve. And how do we do that? Well, one way is to never sit down and just always walk around, you know, with good posture, like you're at attention. That's great. Again, after 40 years in practice, I found that just really not that practical. People need to sit. If we can, we get them a walking workstation, you know, and a standing station or treadmill station so they're not sitting. But, you know, not everybody can do that either. And some people have a lot of arthritis in their feet, or they got a bad knee. They can't do that, so they have to sit. So when you sit, you need a chair that works for you. How do you know it works for you? Oh, my chair is so comfortable. It's so soft. Just you sink into it. It just kind of swallows you up. That's what you don't want. When you sit in a chair, you want a chair that's firm enough so that when you sit in it, you know where your bottom is, where your pelvis is. If your butt sinks down into that chair, your pelvis is going to go into flexion, your spine is going into flexion, and there's no way to preserve your curve. So you need a nice, firm chair, first of all. Secondly, if you are under 5'10", you're going to have to look high and low for a chair because furniture in this country is built to a standard of 5'10". So that means if you are a short person like I am, or if you're a woman who's 5'4", most of that furniture is not going to fit you. It's going to be too deep. So when you sink all the way back into it, or you sit all the way back so your back is supported by the back of the chair, your feet aren't even touching the ground. And this automatically puts your low back into flexion. Or you can try putting a pillow behind there, but it just doesn't work very well. So you need to find a chair that is small enough. So when the part that you sit on is called the pan of the chair. And the pan of the chair needs to be narrow enough so that when you sit all the way back, you can still get your hand in between the back of your knee and the pan of the chair. And then you put a little pillow behind your low back. And if the chair isn't too tall, maybe you have a chair that works for you. Maybe you have a $2,000 Herman Aron chair that's made to fit you. Well, that's terrific. I don't care. You need to get out of it every 20 minutes. You stand up, you reach for the sky, you get up on your tiptoes, or if you have the flexibility in your shoulders and the balance, you put the hands on the small of your back, and you lean back a couple of times, just a little bit. And that will address that hysteresis. It shortens up those ligaments in your disc so they regain their shorter, stronger shape. And your disc is in a better place. Okay? So, sitting. Secondly, what happens if we don't do that? What happens if we just sit for 45, 60 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, like so many people do, let's face it, or you're stuck on an airplane? Well, we can talk about the airplane. But if you don't, and you have these episodes, I've had many people come in and tell me, well, my back goes out a couple times a year. It's done this for, you know, 20, 30 years. Usually takes 3-4 weeks and it gets better. But this time it's not getting better. It just kind of hurts and it doesn't want to go away. All right, what do you think's going on? We'll take a look. So we examine this person, and range of motion in their low back is not very good, and you know, they're tender when you touch the spine. Let's take an x-ray. Now, I don't take x-rays all the time, but sometimes they're indicated. So we take an x-ray, and what do we see? Well, unfortunately, we might see your marshmallow being squished out between those Ritz crackers. So that disc has now compacted. It's ballooned out. It's pancaked out. It's flatter. It's not as tall as it used to be. And by golly, it's wider. Out the front and the back, we can see evidence that disc is bulging out the front and the back. And not only that, but we see it at more than one level. This poor guy has degenerative disc disease at two or maybe three levels. What do we do about that? Well, that's a challenge. You know, it's a real challenge. I wish he would have come in 20 years ago, and maybe we could have slowed that or maybe prevented that. Once it's there, it's pretty tough to deal with. It's a challenge, and it's kind of discouraging. Not only that, but when you see that thing pancaking like that, remember that straw we drew out the back of your vertebrae? That's your spinal canal. Now imagine that your disc, it's not just occupying the space, from the front to the back of the vertebrae, but it's pancaked out the front. Well, that's no big deal. There isn't much out there to bother. But it's pancaked out the back, too. And, oh, Lord, now your happy little spinal canal is not so happy because there are nerves in that canal. And when that disc and all the other junk that goes with that disc, which is calcium and scar tissue and blah, 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 when that invades that spinal canal, those nerves are no longer free to traverse that canal. And now we start to have butt pain and leg pain and cramping and symptoms of what they call spinal stenosis. So spinal stenosis is one of the most difficult conditions that I had to treat. And when I saw spinal stenosis, you have to try to remain upbeat, but let's face it, it's a tough problem. So how can we avoid that? Well, we try to keep our disc as healthy as we can. And people come in sometimes and they'll say, well, my disc, I'm 50 pounds overweight. My discs are never going to be good. What can I do about that? Well, okay, it'd be better if you weren't 50 pounds overweight, but that's a long-term problem that we can deal with over the long term. What can we do in the short term? Well, do you smoke? Quit. Because smoking is one of the biggest risk factors for disc disease. And there are several reasons for that we don't want to get into right now, just for right now. Believe me, look it up for yourself. You can Google it, smoking and disc disease. Smoking is so bad for your back that the Washington Department of Labor and Industries won't even pay for a lot of back surgeries if the patient's a smoker. Now, why would that be? Because statistics have shown us that the risk of failed back surgery is much higher in smokers. They just don't heal very well. So number one, quit smoking. Okay, well, we can do that. What else can we do? Well, we can start walking more. As long as that 50 pounds doesn't keep you from walking, then we can walk more. We can get immediate results by increasing your physical activity. We can get immediate results by improving your posture. We can get immediate results many times just by rearranging your daily schedule. Now, what does that mean? What's my daily schedule have to do with anything? Well, okay, let's go back to that disc. So one reason that the disc weakens after age 22 is that's about the age of skeletal maturity for most people. And that means your bones stop growing, they fuse, and you are as tall as you're going to be. The other thing that happens about that time is the blood supply to the disc disappears. So without a blood supply, tissues just don't heal very well. But your disc still gets some nutrition. It gets at night, when you lie down and you unweight the thing, it absorbs fluid. It absorbs fluid from surrounding tissue. So at night, you lie down, all of your discs are busy drinking up fluid. So in the morning, believe it or not, you're actually taller than when you went to bed. You can prove this to yourself if you're interested. But anyway, so your discs absorb fluid. Well, that's good, isn't it? Yes, it's good because that's how they get their nutrition and try to heal themselves. But It also means that the pressure in the discs is higher in the morning than it is later on. So if you get up in the morning, and I've seen this, I can't tell you how many times, you get up in the morning and you go from your bedroom and you go out to the kitchen and there's the dog, wants breakfast. You bend over. Oh, doc, I just went out and I bent over to pick up the dog's dish. I didn't even pick it up. I just reached for it. And all of a sudden I had this horrible pain in my back and I couldn't stand up straight. And oh, what happened? The pressure inside the disc was higher. You bent over at the waist. That increased pressure pushed that disc and it tore into those annular ligaments. So what can I do about that? Well, first we have to treat that, and we get through this acute phase, and then we talk about how to change your schedule. What can we do differently? A lot of people get up in the morning, especially if they're retired or working from home for now. But they get up in the morning, and they pad out to the kitchen. They make a cup of coffee, and then what do? They sit down at the table. They sit down at the computer. Well, I sit down, my routine is I go through my email and I read the news, and it takes me about 45 minutes or so, and then I get up and I go to the bathroom and then I brush my teeth, and I bent over to brush my teeth and I had this horrible pain. Well, again, how could we change that routine a little bit? If we got up in the morning and we started walking around, we made our tea, we drank it standing, and we did a little, put the dishes away without bending over, and we remained upright for 4 or 5 minutes. 30 minutes after you get up, that pressure in your disc is much lower because you've squeezed the extra fluid out of it like a sponge. Now your back is a lot safer than it was when you first rose. So if we just rearrange your schedule a little bit, and we teach you to be more careful with your posture and preserve that curve, you're going to be in a much better place. If you've got a bunch of pancaked out marshmallows all over it becomes more challenging. It doesn't mean you can't be helped or that you can't help yourself, but it'd be better if we could prevent that. So let's try to do that. So I'm going to leave you with these things, with these four little pieces of advice. Number one, always preserve your curve. Number two, stand up every 20 minutes, reach for the sky. Number three, if you're therapist or your doctor has given you corrective maneuvers to do, then do them. And number four, and this is huge, walk, walk, and walk. And we didn't talk about core strengthening. And a lot of people come in and they say, well, doc, if I've hurt this disc, I should do core strengthening, right? And the answer is no, you should not do core strengthening. Not when you're in an acute phase. Once you calm down, we'll teach you to do core strengthening. Does that mean sit-ups? No. We'll talk about that next time. This is Dr. Chen signing off. Good luck, good health. Take care, and keep moving.